review the last paragraph in Torah Reish Lamed Aleph. Rabbi Nezal says, Veda, and you should know, Sheyesh Shem, there is a name of Hashem, Shekishereitzim La'aseis Melech, that from heaven, when they want to appoint a king, Mishtamshim Bozeh Hashem, they use this name of Hashem in order to appoint a king. Note, Kaviyachol Hashem, when he wants to do an Ulda Lamata, when he wants to do something here, Kaviyachol Hashem is mislabesh in a certain name of Hashem in order to accomplish that item. It's a type, it's a form of tzimtzum. Kaviyachol Hashem constricts himself to take on a certain form. A name of Hashem is a bechin of tzimtzum. It's a keli, it's malchus. Baruch Shem, kevoid malchuso. The name is a bechin of malchus. Hashem is mitzamtzem himself within a name in order to accomplish a certain item. The Hashem who kuf mem hei, the name of Hashem that's used to appoint kings, is the name of Hashem kuf mem hei, which is one of the ayin beis shemos of Hashem, one of the three-lettered words within the shem ayin beis, which we refer to many times. Roshei tevois, and that's the first letters of the pasuk, hashkifo mimayim kotshecho, that Hashem looks out from his holy place. Note an interesting item, Rabbi Nezal brings in Torah Alach Mekudimah on the connection between the Chamor and the Levona, that the Levona has nothing on its own except what it receives from the sun. And Rabbi Nezal brings here that the sun is the Bechin of Chachma. The Chachma is the one that shines into the Malchus. Rabbi Nezal quotes that the Tikkuni Zohar, Abba Yosad Brato, the daughter is the Bechin of Malchus, the Bas Melech in the first story of Sipurei Maaseis. She draws her Shefa from Abba, from the father. The father and daughter have a very close relationship, Chachma and Malchus. Here you'll note that which is the name of Hashem that appoints a Melech, the name Kuf Mem Hei, which corresponds to the Pesuk Hashkifa Memayim Kodshecha, Kodesh is always an Inyan of Chachma. Reish is Chachma, Kodesh Yisrael Hashem, Reish is Tevuasai. Rabbi Nezal says, "Vze bechinas mahade malkin umehoke malkin." The pasuk says about Hashem that Hashem removes kings. The word mahade means removes kings, umehoke malkin, and appoints kings. Hashem removes kings and appoints kings. Note that the word that's used for appointing a king, mehokein, this word hokein, kuf mem hei, is the name of Hashem that's used to appoint kings. This is what's written about Yosef HaTzadik, when Yosef HaTzadik had the dream, which showed that he was the one who was going to be roy, to be the melech, the bechoyer, the reishis of the brothers. In the dream, it's, he said, "Vehine komo alomosi." My bundle rose up. He used the word komo. He didn't use the word omad or different words that could have meant rose up. He used the word komo specifically because that's the meaning of malchus. Komo is an Indian of Malchus. Kuf Mem Hei. The Parvois L'Chochmah of Nachman Shigrinzal brings that in the Kavona Sri Arizal on Rosh Hashanah, one of the things that we say, V'chol ma'aminim shehu hamamlech malochim v'loy hamalucha shehu v'ein biltoi. I think that's the one. V'chol ma'aminim shehu v'ein biltoi hamamlech malochim v'loy hamalucha. Hashem is the one who appoints kings, and the whole power of kingdom is to him. The Arizal brings that the word Hamamlech is begematria, this name of Hashem, Kuf Mem Hei, which is the name which stands for the Koyach of Hashem, Kaviyachol, to appoint kings. This side of Inei Koma Alomosi Mehokim Malkim, you see that that's the side of Hamamlech Melochim Velei Hamelucha, that this name of Hashem is the name which refers to establishing kings in the world. And this name Rabbi Nezal brings corresponds to the singing of Hashkif of Imam Kodshecha, because this requires a special Hashkocha from Hashem. This concept of Tomid Einei Hashem Alekecha Bo Mireishis Hashem Alachos Hashanah that Rabbi Nezal brought about Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is the Bechin of Malchus, the Eretz Miskoim Molo. What gives Eretz Yisrael its Koyach of Malchus? The fact that there—that's where you have this bechina of hashkifa memayim kotshecha, this extra hashkocha. Einayim al shem hachochma emra. We mentioned many times the eyes are an inyan of chochma. It's this hashkocha, this hashkifa memayim kotshecha. That's what appoints malchus. That's what appoints a melech. Baruch Hashem. Any questions?
Yeah. The thing is that who's needs the name to appoint the king?
Kaviyochel Hashem. Hashem, Kaviyochel, when he does certain items, He is mishtamesh, he uses certain, for example, Hashem used at times certain malachim to serve certain functions. The malach refoil is a malach who is used by Hashem to accomplish certain refuos at times. Gavriel, to accomplish certain acts of givura. Kaviyochel, there are malachim who are shluchim for this. Kaviyochel, there are names of Hashem, that Hashem himself, Kaviyochel, is nislabesh in this name. Remember, we said a name is a tzimtzum. We don't know, what does this mean literally? It has no, it's ruchnius we're talking about. Kaviyochel, Hashem is nislabesh within this name to accomplish a certain item. Which means if you could picture this name as a certain colored robe, Kaviyochel. When Hashem wants to do a certain item, he dresses in his purple robe. When he wants to do a different item, he puts on the green robe with the yellow stripes. Kaviyochel, this name of Hashem is the robe that Hashem cloaks himself in when he goes through this job of appointing kings, which is one of the functions of Hashem. The Gemara says there isn't a single, even a Resh Gar Garusa, even a sanitation chief on earth is not appointed without a direct supervision from Hashem. Mm-hmm. Here you see it, that it requires this hashkifa mimayin kotshecha, this looking out from way, way up on high, this oir of chachma, to shine into the malchus.
Because I'm saying when it says this yeshen shekisha writes in.
Right.
That, you know, like I'm
that's
saying,
a respectful, it's a respectful term about Hashem kisha. When they, in other words, that's okay, a term used about Hashem,
okay.
When they want to appoint a king from heaven. That's, if you recall the way Rebbe Zal used to speak many times, from heaven they send, that's the terminology, it's a respectful terminology about Hashem, plural. When you talk to a Rebbe, when you talk to Rosh Yeshiva, you say, you know, Atem, ear, in Yiddish, the respectful ear, not du, budi, ear. That's the difference. Okay, Baruch Hashem.
What is like, why is Rebbe Zal tell us this? How is it?
He's giving information. Number one, this is information about Hashem, about one of the functions of Hashem, about Malchus, Bechlal. It's understood that when a person, Bechlal, each person, a person has to be a Seirer Bevesai, right? A man has to have a Bechin of Malchus in his house, to be a ruler in his house. If we understand where the Mokar of Malchus comes from, Kaviyochel, which name of Hashem is the Mokar of Malchus, we can talk, we can be Mispala a little bit more clearly, Kaviyochel. In other words, there's, on one hand, when we daven Hashem, we try to daven the Pshitus Gomor, very simple, Hashem, please help me be Zeichet to Malchus, or to this and this. On the other hand, if a person can make from Torah tefillah, that's a spectacular thing, right? It's the highest form of tefillah. If I know where the Sheresh of Malchus is, I can daven to Hashem in a more intelligent manner. I can say to Hashem, we see in the Torah HaKadosha that there is a specific name of Hashem that's designated for being Mamlech Malochim, as by Yosef HaTzadik, and therefore I beg of you, please shine to me. Shine into me the oir of this name of Hashem, this koyach that comes from you, so that I should be zeche to have the bechin of Malchus in the way I'm supposed to have it, and use it for your cover. Understand? That's one function right off the bat. Baruch Hashem. Torah Reish Lamed Hei. Rabbein Zal says, Da, you should know, Shemi Shehoilech V'nechlak V'noifel, that a person who's walking and he stumbles, he trips, and he falls down, va'azai ho'ilam seich kimimenu, and then the people laugh at him. You know, they see him trip, stumble in this manner, and they laugh at him. V'hum izbayish mizeh, and the person gets embarrassed by this, the fact that he was caught doing a silly thing, you know, stumbling accidentally. Zeh bo al yidei shepogam b'simchas yantif. Rabbein Zal said you should know that this item is one of the einshin, one of the punishments that's designated from heaven to punish a person who is plagueim in the simcha of Yantif. Ki yom tov nikro regel. We know that Yantif is called regel. Yantif is called regel. Shalosh regolim. Vigam nikro moyed. And Yantif is also, another word for Yantif is moyed. And when a person is pogam in Simchas Yontif, if you recall, we mentioned in Torah Dalid in Likutei Maran way, way, way back, that when a person commits a sin, the sin gets engraved on the person's bones, the words. When a person is over on Lois Signoiv, the words Lois Signoiv get jumbled up, and they go onto his bones in a tziruf that can do him damage. The Arizal, Reb Chaim Vitalzal, once came into the Arizal and was complaining that his shoulder was hurting him. The Arizal told him he should know it's because you're not being careful enough in the halacha of netilas yadayim. The wording in the Shulchan Aruch is that by when a person washes his hands, netilas yadayim, before a meal or after a meal, takef lenetila bracha. Person has to try to make the bracha right after he washes his hands to avoid a major hefsek in between the washing of the hands and the eating the bread before the meal, or between mayim achrayim and benching. Because you were playing in this takef, because of this, kaviyachol, there was nekama taken on your kosef. Kosef means shoulder. This the Arizal told him. So we see there is this concept by Hashem that the words of the mitzvah itself jumble themselves in a manner to inflict pain on the person or punishment. Here we know that one of the words that used, two of the words that are used to describe yontif are regel and mayed. The word regel muad means a foot that's unsteady, a foot that stumbles. Rabbi Nizal says, so when a person is poigem validei pogam besimchas yontif, na'asemizeh regel muad. This causes an unsteady foot. Al-Kain ragloi muado v'nofal. That's why his foot became unsteady and he fell. This is a sign that he was poigem in the simcha of yontif. Because we know what's the main mitzvah of yontif. V'ro'isa ach sameach. The main mitzvah of yontif is simcha. And this laughter that the people laugh at him, they poke fun at him in a sense, who bechinas hasimchois hanefulois mipigam simchas yontif. He was pogam in simcha. What happens is, again, the simcha gets jumbled up, it gets distorted. In this isn't simcha. People aren't happy when they see him laugh. They crack up. That cracking up is a spoilage of the real interpretation of the word simcha, the term happiness, happy. Rabbi Nizal says, Va'al kein nizbayesh, and that's why the person gets, he's explaining every aspect of this type of incident now, and that's why the person gets embarrassed. Why dafka this term, busha? Ki avoida zoro nikra boishes. We know that avoida salilam avoida zoro is called busha, as is brought in a pasuk in Hosea. The word that they used about Avodah Zorah was shame, busha. The Gemara says in Psachim that a person who makes fun of Yontif, a person who shows disrespect to Yontif, he's playing game in Yontif, it's as though he worshipped idols. And idol worship is the bechina of busha. Al-Kain bo olav boishes. Therefore, as a result of his pegam in Simchas Yontif, he brings upon himself this shame, this embarrassment. Ulefa'amim huloi lekaporo. Rabbi Nizal says, at times, an incident like this alone can serve as a forgiveness, a total atonement for this type of sin, a sin in pegam of Simchas Yontif. At times, this is not enough to serve as a kaporo. This is just an act of Hashem to remind the person, to make the person aware that he has to do tshuva for this type of pigam. Note that this is also a taiva for the person. This is also a favor of the person. That min hashamayim, they show him. A person has to study every single thing that happens to him during the day. And when he falls or when anything happens to him, good or bad, he has to try to the best of his ability, bepshitas, to understand it, to see what remez Hashem is sending him for avodas Hashem, to bring him closer. Here Rabbi Nizal gives an example that when this type of item happens to a person, he should know that generally it relates to this item, and he should know, number one, to be conscious of it, and number two, to take out the time to apologize to Hashem. I realize if this happened to me, it implies that possibly I was pagan in Simchas Yantif. Please forgive me if anything I did wrong in Simchas Yantif, and let me be zeicher to feel, to really be mekayim the mitzvah of Simchas Yantif that I'm supposed to. Simchas Yantif means to be with his wife, number one. That's part of Simchas Yantif, because the Gemara says, Hashori b'leisha, shori b'leisimcha, and Simchas Yantif means the achil of Yantif, it means the teir of Yantif, it means bechlal, the whole feeling of simcha, Baruch Hashem. Next, Torah Reish Lamed Vav. Rabbi Nezal says, Mi shenoyheg rabonos bekashrus ubetmimus koroi. Interesting, Jeff asked me about this Torah recently. He was learning this Torah, and Rabbi Nezal seems to leave this with a bomb. And Rabbi Nezal, of the Kudimam tapes, adds two words that sort of tell you what's the Eitzah here. Rabbi Nezal seems to just present a bomb, and he doesn't seem to present a solution. This is why it's good to have a Rebbe to teach you Likud Imran. Sometimes there are pieces that are missing here that you need a Rebbe to fill in for you. Rabbi Nezal says, Mi shenoyheg rabonus bekashrus ubetmimus koroi, a person who is zeche to conduct a rabonus, a position of leadership, a rov in a city, or a rabbi of a group of people, bekashrus, kosher, ubitmimus, and with sincerity, koroi, the way it's supposed to be done, al yidei zeh zeiche sheyale legidula l'seif yamav. Through that, the person is zeiche that as a reward from heaven, they help him rise up to a high stature at the end of his life. He is zeiche to become famous at the end of his life. V'chol ma shenechshav legedula ba'isei hador, and whatever is considered greatness in that generation, hu oile legedula zu, he rises to that type of greatness. Kigoin bedoyer hazeh, Rabbi Nezal said, like in our generation, for example, she'ikar hagedula v'hakovoid, hu kishemachzik en oisei letzadik mefursum, the main greatness of a leader, and the main honor of a leader is that people accept him as a mefursum, as a renowned leader. That word renowned, well known, accepted. Azai zeiche, then a person is zeiche, a person who conducts rabbonus bekashrus b'tmimus koroi is zeiche sheyiskabel b'soif yomov lemefursum gadol. He's zeiche that at the end of his life he becomes accepted by people to be a great mefursum. Af shebe'emes einoy kein, although in truth he is not necessarily so great a tzaddik as they make him up to be, rak shehu ish kosher poshut, he happens to be an ish kosher, a poshut ish kosher, still, v'noisnim lo yischoroi koidem shiyotze min ha'olam, still, at times, from heaven they give him his reward before he leaves the world, v'yachakach, and after that, .. After that, Rachmanel Islan, he has used up his reward on this world, and he suffers from it, period. Jeff's question, which is the obvious question here, is, Rabbi Nezal started off, Mi shenoyheg rabonus bekashrus subetmimus koroi, this is what they do to him, number one. And if that's the case, who's interested in anything like this? Rabbi Zal adds on to this Torah a few words. What this is, what Rabbi Nezal is saying here is a reminder, a warning, for a person who's put into this position to be extremely careful, to daven to Hashem, and to work very hard to be zeiche, to be a boireach min hakavod. In other words, you should know that when you're put into this position, at times, what they do from heaven is the malachim try to get Hashem to give this person as a reward, to give him kovod, especially at the end of his life, to make him great, and the malachim try to use that to trick the person by that into losing out on schar. How should the person react to it? He should work very hard to be a bereach min hakavod, not to want any kavod, and to try not to accept any kavod that he's not supposed to accept. There is certain kavod that a rov is mechuyev to accept, and if he doesn't, chas v'shalom, he's harming his ayver lifnei ivel esite mechshel, chas v'shalom. But other than that, he should work very hard to be zeche, to be a bereach min hakavod, and in that manner, he'll avoid this problem. He won't get harmed in this way. Now, you should know that, again, being in this kind of position is dangerous. Rabbi Yochayim Shlita always says over in the name of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh that the Degel Machne Ephraim, who was one of the grandchildren of the Baal Shem HaKadosh, always told over this story that he remembers once when he was a small child, he was sitting on the Baal Shem HaKadosh's lap, in a room, and the Baal Shem Tov was sitting there with a few of his Talmidim, and the Baal Shem Tov suddenly let out a scream like, he said, you should know that there's sitting a person in this room now who is so great that he's not afraid of any malach in heaven, and he's not afraid of any sorof in heaven. On the contrary, all the heavenly malachim, everything in heaven trembles before him. And that person is in constant danger 24 hours a day of falling into the nukva de tohem araba. That's the wording that he used, which means like the lower, lower sub-basement of the abyss, chas v'shalom. Implying again that a person bechlal, a person who's in any kind of position of leadership, is in tremendous sakona. Malchus is dino de malchus adino. It's judgment, it's din. It has the power to be nikem against the person very easily. And what is malchus? Malchus is kavod. Therefore, a person who's in any position of leadership, whether it be a parent in a house, a father in a house, a rabbi of a shul, anybody, has to know, watch out for this. It's something that's good. It's something that's necessary. It's a siman in Shulchan Aruch. Kibud avayim, kibud rov. And yet, watch out not to be plaguing in it. Watch out that your job should be the soid kavon asel lema'it b'chvoid atzmoi ul'harbois b'chvoid amoklin. To see to it that the respect that your kids give you, or the respect that Talmidim give you, or any kind of respect that's given to a person, you shouldn't take it personally. You should see to it to give, to pass it along. To just use himself as a pipe to pass along the kavod Hashem, like Avram Avinu. People would come to his table, he would give him a spectacular meal, they would want to say thank you, he would say, hold it, 1 second, you got a great idea, I just want to get out of the way, say thank you, shoot it straight up to Hashem. Why give it to me and I'll pass it on to Hashem? I want you to be aware, you don't have to show acknowledgement to me. Show the acknowledgement to Hashem who created me and I gave you food. Who gave me money, I can give you food. Parents say the kids have to appreciate us because I'm the one. Who are you? You're nothing. You're zero. You're Ofer. You're Rimo. You're Taylea. Why do I have respect for you? Because Hashem created you. Hashem put you in a position where we're obligated to show respect for you. That's a parent, a Talmud Chacham, anybody. The kavod isn't for him personally, for his finger. That's why I remember when Rebbe Zal got sick, Rachmanu Litzlan, and people were saying, you know, you're going to go in there, it's going to be so hard to look at him, and you know, all of those things. The only thought in my mind was, till now, when he was my Rebbe, he wasn't my Rebbe based on any physical form. That relationship wasn't based on a goof whatsoever. The Gemara tells about Rabbi Nochum Mishkamzu, one of the greatest Tanoim in the world. And the Gemara tells stories of him speaking to his Talmidim when he was in a state where he had no hands, no feet, and he had boils all over his body. You picture having a Rebbe like that, who looked so... Those were the luckiest people in the world. Those were the biggest tzaddikim in the world. They were Zech Debi Mekusha to 8 tzaddikemes, possibly the tzaddikemes. Possibly the biggest tzaddik alive in that door was one who looked in this condition, and yet they loved him, and they were thrilled to see him. And that's the same attitude that we have to have. You have to understand that the kavod that you're showing Talmud Chacham is not because of his face, it's because of the elokus within him. It's a kavod that was given to him by Hashem. And the person himself, the parent himself, anybody else has to understand that very clear. When you ask your kids to get something for you, never ever, and Michal once stressed this to me, to be careful never to use your kids, get me this, get me that, never. If it ever comes to a situation where you know you're doing it for yourself, you should know it's treif, it's also. I'm saying by me, a lot of times when I think of something like that, asking them to do something, there's always a thought beforehand, a planning and a plotting. One of the main reasons why I'm asking them to do this is to give him the mitzvah of kibud av. Nothing to do with me personally. I know that if he does this, he's going to give Hashem anachas ruach, he's going to get the mitzvah. For me, I don't want it. It's despicable. It should be disgusting to a person to have somebody else serve him, to have somebody else put food on the table for him, a wife even. I remember when I first got married, I mentioned to Leila, it took getting used to. It felt super, super uncomfortable, number one. She was a Baas Talmud Chacham, that alone felt like an ugly feeling, like she's serving me, which felt like ridiculous, number one, and distasteful, number two. And Bechal, my mother, let's say, mother at home, you're used to, you know, it was going on for 20 years, I was used to, she was the one who put the food on the table when I was a small kid. Here's a question of getting used to a new person serving you. It was distasteful. And that's the way it's supposed to be. A person should never, you have people who have a nature, they become a husband, a father in the house, The wife gets up from the table 50 times, get me this, get me that. You know, some, even if you say it in a nice way, you have to know to orient your mind to generally avoid that kind of thing. Avoid any covering for yourself. Avoid using people and that kind of thing to try to work on it. On the other hand, if you don't do it at all, sometimes that could be, again, a mechshel, because a wife gets trained not to do anything for the husband. That's also wrong. So the answer is amud adam tzisa. You have to go up the middle, but you have to know mitzidcha. A person should be a bereach min hakovod at all times, and a person should be mispal for that.
This is Ben Azal. He told us this about a year ago. Told us in where Ben Azal takes a question. I think it's from Isaiah chapter 16, paragraph 7, where he says, "He who has mercy will lead them."
Right, ki merachamim yinahagim.
In a situation like that, the person who's in the leadership position wouldn't. The tendency would be a great tzaddik, or tzaddik MC wouldn't go for covered something like that.
Hopefully.
Oh, even then, there's always the possibility.
Of course, he has to watch out for this. The Arizal, Mari, could you ask for a bigger tzaddik than the Arizal? Could you ask for somebody with more humbleness? What were the last words off the mouth of the Arizal before he's passing away? Al tevoyeni regel gaivon. Hashem, please, al tevoyeni regel gaivon. He quoted the pasuk in Tehillim where David HaMelech says, Hashem, please save me from the feet of gaivon. Please save me from the tiniest drop of gaivon.
Because
those were the last words. This is what's brought in his Arizal. Those were the last words off his lips. And it's brought about the Baal Shem HaKadosh, but he said the same exact words. That was his last picture. He was histalkus. He was at his highest height in Kiddusha. What was he worried about? This one. Everything else they weren't worried about. This they were worried about. This is the biggest sakona in the world for any kind of leader, any kind of manhe. Malchus is kovoy chas v'shon to be paikim in it. You're finished, chas v'shon. Finished.
You can still get gaiva from even
from a funeral. From a funeral. That's how Rabbi Zal explained it. The Rabbi Zal said a person at a levaya, people are saying nice things about him, and so many people are coming out to show respect, to show their respect. These tzaddikim were afraid that chas v'shalom they should get a geus from that, from the respect that would be shown to them at a funeral.
There's no bechira anymore.
And obviously there is some shemitz. There is a possibility of a problem at that time. Period.
The bereach min hakovod. How does that still answer this question? It says raksha who ish kosher pasha.
Right.
So I'm saying.
What are you saying?
So it says if he's still an ish kosher pasha, what happens?
So.
Sounds the same
thing.
This term seems to imply, you know, it's like a twist the last minute. It's mostly, it's trying to say good things.
It's not trying to say good things. It's trying to say that a person is not able to have one of through that, he's zeichet to this and this and this. Mm. But you should know that sometimes that's not necessarily to the person's advantage. Sometimes that itself is a trick by the malachim to mess him up, to hurt him. Therefore, watch out even for that. Watch out when you're young to what to be bereach min hakovod, and when you get older, towards the end of your life, if you see this thing happening, that you're being given kovod, you should know that could be this is going to hurt you. Even then, constantly, your whole life, bereach min hakovod. I'm giving you the example, the Baal Shem HaKadosh, the Arizal. What did they say at the end? Al tevoyeni regel gaiva, because of this reason. I should always stay away from kovod. Baruch Hashem.
There's somebody in this room who's talking about himself?
Exactly. Obviously, he was implying himself. That's the way the story is told over. It is a punishment. Being insulted is a form of punishment, right? Which means being given respect is a form of reward. It's a bechin of ashirus. Ashirus is kovod. There's ashirus, which is good for the person. And there's Aisher Shomo Labolo of Lilo Asai. That's what it's saying here. You should know that generally this is a good item. When people show you respect in this net, it's not terrible. It's a good item. Right. It's a pleasant thing.
Yeah, it says they hold him at tzaddik even if he's a regular person.
No. They hold him as higher than what he really is.
Well, first of all, God, even if he's a little pasha Jew.
Right. And then, don't put in your wrong words.
He's
not a little. Right.
So is that
exactly.
Like,
you listening to what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah. a person who was zeicher to hold. Note, ish kosher poshet doesn't mean a nobody, because we're talking about somebody who was noyeg rabonos bekashrus. He was a kosher rov. He was a manhig. Yes?
Yes.
Elamai, he wasn't a very, very great tzaddik or mafursa. He was a good kosher manhig.
Right.
As a reward for that, sometimes the schar for that is that later on in life, if he was zeicher to conduct rabonos bekashrus, as a reward, he's given that later on in life he becomes nisparsim even more than is possibly due to him. Elamai, that's in a way, that's a good thing. It's an ashirus. Ashirus is kavod, right?
Right. Yeah, but it's like people thinking about
you, that's not
true. Right. So is that good?
Because sometimes it could be to the person's advantage. So what? Sometimes that could be to the person's advantage that they treat him nicer, meaning they'll help him out. The Gemara says, for example, a Talmud Chacham, a Rov, people are supposed to see to it that if he comes, if two people come to buy something, and one is a Talmud Chacham, he's supposed to sell to him more readily, and all of those items, they'll treat him with a greater respect.
There's like the opposite though, like we have the case where, say if a person does something, puts on a front, whatever, he'll be punished with that front.
Right.
The person who makes place of tzaddik,
right.
His end is that.
Here yeah, it's not saying not, it in yeah. that nasty way, although he's adding three dots at the end. Dot, dot, dot. Beware. Beware that it could be that, chas v'shem. It could be sometimes that even if you are kosher, the malachim, there's this kinas ha-malachim. You have to watch out that sometimes they play tricks even on a tzaddik, even on a tzaddik. So you see that there is tremendous danger there. So you should know that sometimes they do this to a person and it's sort of a bechina of schar. No, I'm saying that. Think for a second. This schar. That he's going to be treated nicely and he's going to have a pleasant kailam haza in a sense. That's definitely a form of schar.
What does that mean if he's kailam
haza? That he will be excelled, he'll be received by people the way they receive on a person level. Meaning he'll be treated with tremendous respect.
You receive your respect in that way,
exactly.
Not so much they'll think he's that way.
No, they'll think he's that way and they'll treat him that way. Okay. They'll think he's that way and they'll treat him that way. But here, in other words, you're getting locked into that thing we once said, that, in other words, if they treat him that way, that'll kill him, that'll wipe him out. We're not talking about that aspect of it. We're saying they're going to treat, he's going to be, people are going to think he's much greater than he really is, and they're going to treat him with more respect. Now, he can look at this two ways. He can say, I think the people are nuts, and they're showing me too much, and just take it at that, and he personally will not accept it, not say, like, well, when he came here and he said he saw people standing up for him and things like that, it was very disgusting to him. And he sort of disengaged himself from it. In other words, they're doing this over there, and I'm not accepting it in any way at all to myself. Why am I not putting a total stop to it? Because I know that this is the way they were taught. This is their minhagim here. The Gemara says, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. Therefore, I can't tell them that they're not allowed to do it, although that's on their side. To me, mitzidi, it's distasteful, and it's uncomfortable, and it's...
Exactly.
To be safe from what?
From the color.
Not from the respect. Not exactly. Exactly. Tells that you shouldn't take it the wrong way, and you shouldn't take. Period. Not you shouldn't. You shouldn't take it. You shouldn't take the cover to yourself. To always orient your nature to be a boleach on a cover. When you see any cover coming, go the other way. Period. And in that manner, regardless of what they're doing, they'll be treating you nice, they'll be doing all kinds of things, and yet it won't be able to harm you in any way. You understand? In a way, it'll be more pleasant to you rather than they're spitting at you, or throwing stones at you, or breaking your windows, or making machlekes in it. Seriously.
Right.
But still, it won't hurt you in any way. Your life will be, you'll have a more pleasant Adam Hazen, if it won't hurt you in any way.
So does this mean he'll have like quote perky obviously a Kester Shame Tov? Does this mean that's what it's
one form, that's one way of describing it.
Well, what does it mean when it says that the Kester Shame Tov is the highest?
A good name. They have a good name by Gedolim specifically. Rabbi Zal once mentioned that as a compliment. There was once a story where Rabbi Zal came back from Eretz Yisrael. This was about 7-8 years ago. I'd say. And I was in Taravadas High School at the time. I graduated high school in TA. I was learning, that was the year that I was in Taravadas during the day and in college at night. And there was some kind of situation where Rebbe Zal came back from Eretz Yisrael and there was nobody, period, exclamation point, nobody, to take him home from the airport. Nobody. And I called the Rebbe Zal, and everybody was just saying, no, there's no ride. And to me at the time, a thought, I heard that, you know, not the thought of him getting off a plane and there's nobody there to be Mekabel, Pnei Tam, you know, something like this coming back from Eretz Yisrael, was horrifying. So I went crazy. I started making all kinds of calls. Everything failed. Dave, I called, and I didn't have a driver. I was about 15, 16 at the time, I think. I didn't have a driver's license. I hadn't taken driver's ed yet. No driver's license or anything. I couldn't drive. And I was thinking of borrowing a car and driving it without knowing how to drive. Who knew, you know, just this couldn't happen. And at the time, I called up Davey Asulin. He wasn't home. He was in Manhattan. He had a car at home, and he had car keys at home. I should come to his house and get the car keys from the maid. The maid doesn't speak any English at all. She'll look around. She'll find the car keys. She'll get you the car keys, get the car keys, and get somebody to drive the car and go to the airport. And kahava, I got two guys from two boys. I got one. In other words, I asked about 50 guys in the base membership if anybody'd be willing to do it. People look at me like Mars. Leave the yeshiva in the middle of the day to pick somebody up from the airport. You know. And we gotta go, where's the car? We gotta take a bus to get to the car, which is on Avenue W, the Taravadas is on Katoya Road and everything. I convinced the guy, those who know, Kalter, a guy with payas behind the ears, a guy who, the furthest person from doing this job, period, the furthest. I got him to do it, and he wouldn't do it unless somebody else came along with him. So it was two guys plus me. They went with me to Davey Asulin's house. It took about a half hour to get the maid to explain to her what we wanted. Shana gave us the keys. What car is it? Where is it parked? Nothing. It was a wild, wild situation. The net result of the whole family was able to get to the airport and on time, and I showed up there. I was the only one there, and Rebbe Zal came out, and he said, you know, how do you get a car, this, that, and I didn't get a chance to tell him the whole story. It was like I told him two words now, and there wasn't a chance to even explain it, just period. He got into the car. Oh, and when I told them that he's going to drive the car, there were so many strange things at the time. And we were riding in the car. I remember at the time that Rebbe was not in the car. I remember the other two guys were sitting in the front with Rebbe Zal, and I was sitting in the back. I couldn't explain to them to come to the... It was a whole confusing thing. And one thing I remember from that trip is on the way back, Rebbe Zal said, you should know one thing. The Gemara says that the highest thing that a person could achieve is Keser Shem Tov. The Gemara says that there's Keser Torah, Keser this, Keser that. The Keser Shem Tov Oila Al Gabehem. That's above everything else. He said you should know one of the greatest things in the world is to have a good name. Kasha's good name, you can have a good name where in baseball, you know, among the baseball leaders, they can, you know, good name means good name where it counts. Among the tzaddikim, they should know your name, you should have a good name there. And he said to me that time when he came back, you should know you're very lucky that you have a good name where it counts. You know, they just came back from Eretz Yisrael. But I remember that story, you mentioned this word position, but I remember the story. It was such a wild, insane thing. But again, at that time you were that kid, Tchila Sahasir. It wasn't feasible. There wasn't a choice. There wasn't a question. It had to be done. If it meant going to the airport and hiring out a Piper Cub to fly him from the plane and land on his building. It was a joke. No, what had to be done was a joke. There was no concept of insurmountable. There was no concept of mania. Mania was a joke. In other words, you waited for it to happen. Whatever, you just went in, you dove in head first. And Hashem helped it. Things got done. I remember this incident.
Leave an impression on those guys at all?
I remember
they were very confused. Said. And on the way to the airport, I spoke to them for a while about Rabbi Zal. Then when they saw him, note again, then he was clean shaved. They were just in total shock. I remember like a couple of days later, I remember there was talk, like a confused look, like, you know, this guy must be a little wacky. He made such a big deal. You know, the way this guy pulled guys out of his shit. You know, it was a whole production. And for the, you know, like if we would have known that it was this, we wouldn't have sent our handkerchief along, more or less, you know, that we would go around. But you know, someday they're going to find out that it was zecher to be mishpatef in a very, very big mitzvah. To be zecher to show cover to a Talmud Chacham. I don't remember the other one. But him, I remember, he was the one who drove.